We are going to talk today all about sleep. What does it mean if you're not sleeping well, some things that may be going wrong, and what you can do to try to troubleshoot them.
Welcome to Health and Hormones. I am your host, Rita Johnson. Here we talk about all things related to health, hormones, natural living, and those amazing bodies that God has given you and how to take care of them better. I'm so glad you're here.
All right, friends, so let's go ahead and dive on into this topic of sleep. I want to talk about sleep because a lot of times when I talk to women initially and they suspect that there's some hormonal imbalance or they're struggling with infertility or trying to get their weight down, whatever it is, whatever reason they've kind of has become the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. Oftentimes, when sleep is an issue, I really start with why is the sleep problematic. So, for example, if somebody comes to me and tells me, you know, I'm having trouble with my cycles or I'm having trouble conceiving, and it also comes out that they're not sleeping well or that they're chronically exhausted, then I'm really starting to wonder, okay, is it because you're not sleeping that your hormones are out of whack, or is it actually because your sleep is impacted by your hormones being out of whack? You know, it is a little bit of a chicken and egg sometimes, but I just want to talk through some of that because I think it's a good place to start and to be mindful of when and how you do sleep well and what you can do if you're not sleeping well. So really, there could be a whole myriad of reasons why your sleep is disrupted. But in general, I tend to think of first and foremost, what's going on with your blood sugar? Is your blood sugar in need of balancing and supporting? Are we needing to really focus on your hormones and what's going on there to help support your sleep cycle? Because sleep is a hormonally dependent process, right? We need to be sure that we have adequate melatonin to be able to fall asleep and sleep well throughout the night. And then our cortisol helps us to have energy throughout the day. So if we're having a lot of sleep disruptions, obviously, you know, sometimes there are things we can't do anything about, right? If you have small children at home, for example. But there may be things that we could do something about. So if your hormones are off, or if you had food sensitivities or blood sugar really needs to be balanced. And of those, I find that very often people don't think about the impact that things like food sensitivities can have on their sleep. But when we really start to kind of, break that down a little bit further, it makes a lot of sense. If I have foods that are causing inflammation in my body, of course, that's going to naturally impact my ability to deep sleep throughout the night and going to prevent that from happening. The same thing with hormonal processes and supporting blood sugar. The trick is that from one person to the next, it's very bio-individual. So it's very unique to your specific body, the way that you need to be supported to also then support your sleep. So for example, some women tell me that, it's their blood sugar that's keeping them up at night. And one thing I will say on this real quick is that you can generally tell if it's blood sugar waking you up by how you wake up. So, for example, if somebody wakes up in the night and they feel really kind of wired and they just start thinking about, you know, whatever's coming next and they get really stressed really quickly, that could actually be a result of your blood sugar waking you up. It's very much an emergency state in your body, right? So we're getting a cortisol surge because our blood sugar has gone either too low or too high. And so then, mentally we'll have that corresponding reaction. It's almost as if our brain wakes us up thinking, why am I stressed? Instead of just acknowledging that, oh, my body is telling me that it's stressed because of a chemical reaction in my blood sugar. It's not because of, you know, this big meeting tomorrow, which may make you stressed in its own right, but it could actually be from the blood sugar why you're waking up at night in the first place. So for some people, they find that eating a snack before going to bed helps them to balance their blood sugar and sleep better. For other people, they find that they need to actually stop eating earlier in the evening, and that helps them balance their blood sugar at night. And there's, of course, you know, different variations we can see in terms of if somebody tends to kind of run high with their blood sugar levels or if they're running low, and then different ways to support that. In general, I find that if you're you know, blood sugar is actually going high at night, it's a better idea to cut out that evening snack and perhaps then also really focus on what you're eating with your dinner. Always being sure that we're getting adequate protein and healthy fats. But from there, we can kind of play around with our carbohydrate load as well. So in general, we will see that, you know, in the evenings is a time when you can usually eat a little more of those complex carbohydrates because we do tend to be more insulin resistant in the mornings. And this is in general across the board, regardless of if you have actually, you know, medication that is being used to manage your blood sugar, or you know for sure that's a problem for you to be hyper or hypo. Also, you'll find it interesting to know that if you don't get at least 7 hours of sleep at night, you are insulin resistant the entire next day. So again, even if you're not having issues with your blood sugar in your typical day-to-day, but if you have, you know, a period of time that you're not able to get 7 hours, that it is going to start to become an issue for you, your blood sugar, because you are going to need to really be sure that you're getting enough sleep. Also, I find that, you know, that situation where we're not getting adequate sleep, you know, it kind of fuels other things. Then we start to snack more because our body's looking for energy, didn't get last night from sleep. And so we tend to snack more throughout the day, and we tend to, you know, gravitate more towards those carbohydrate-dense snacks instead of, and we're not looking at that time for generally a meat stick or carrots and guacamole. We're looking more for those simple carbohydrates, that quick fuel that our body can quickly translate into a burst of energy for us. And also then caffeine tends to be at a higher intake at that time as well. So it's really important to focus on balancing and focusing on your sleep in any health journey, but particularly if hormones are something you're really trying to work on balancing. In addition to that, you know, if we're trying to lose weight or maintain a healthy weight, that's a really big piece of this as well. So I say all this because very often when I start working with women one-on-one, a lot of times they'll kind of mention sleep as an afterthought, when I generally am thinking about sleep as a primary, you know, a primary place that we need to start, really seeing how we can support you and move you through that from there. In addition to that, the food sensitivities that I mentioned earlier, you know, that alone can be huge. I've had clients that is the way that their body reacts, is by waking them up in the middle of the night and having sleep disturbances. I have a kiddo that if he eats certain foods that he is reacting to, he is up in the night with what I used to think was just growing pains, but now we know that that is a way that his body responds to his food sensitivities. So just important to kind of be aware of that. If you suspect it's from food sensitivities, what I recommend doing is just tracking that. So for example, if you woke up in the night and you're thinking, well, gosh, yesterday I ate a few things that were, you know, not typical staples in my diet, then jot that down, right? Had poor sleep, and write down the things you ate the day before. And just keep that in a place where anytime you do have that reaction, you can kind of add to it. You don't need to track it every single day, but if it's infrequent enough for you, it can still help you put together that puzzle a little bit more accurately and identify, are there specific things that you're noticing in common with those poor nights of sleep? All right, I hope this is helpful for you. I really enjoy unpacking sleep and what it is that your body is trying to tell us when sleep is something that needs to be supported in any health journey. But of course, always remember, your body is unique, wonderful, and amazing, and God has given you this incredible ability to be able to heal from the inside out. And so we really need to look at the mind, body, soul, and see what else is at play here. If there is something else that we need to be paying attention to, or is it something more in the physical realm that we need to be supporting?
Are you interested in optimizing your workouts, your nutrition, and your hormone balance through how you are doing life throughout the course of your menstrual cycle? Well, if so, go check out my brand new Cycle Syncing Workshop. I'd love to get it in your hands so you can learn not only why it's important to be cycle charting, but also what you can do with that information that's so much more than just seeing your fertile and infertile windows each month. Go over to my website, healthandhormones.org, and click the banner Cycle Syncing Workshop.